Well, you guys didn't know it, but I snuck off and went to the bathroom. Now you do. But so the Lord must have known what I was needing. When Jesus was praying in the garden, one of the things he said, "This is life eternal, that they may know you and him whom thou hast sent." We were created to be with him. That was his intention for each one of us, to be with him. But he made us to be a little different from him than he made his son. And, you know, when you think about the relationship of his son and the father, it was perfect. And there never was any question about their relationship, their love for each other. Whatever the father says, that's what I'll do. There are not many of us, if any, who have that kind of relationship with their father. Someone said, our image of our father rests a lot of God. Our image of God rests a lot on our relationship with our own father. My relationship with my father was kind of trying. A little worse than that, perhaps. But our images of God impact our life at a deeper level than anything else in our life. The teachings of the Christian world and the world at large is so ingrained that we don't hardly pause to even question them. We don't realize the impact they're having upon them. I spent 3 years in the Army. I spent 31 years at the steel mill. Basically, the kind of men that I worked with were the same. And some of the things that I heard are in my head, and I can't get them out. You'll carry them around the rest of your life. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. He will not stop you. That's his intent, for you to be with him. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. He's talking about himself. Coming to know God and Jesus is a process. It takes a lifetime of living, I think, to do that. It takes many experiences. Some people accomplish it with a lot more skill than others. We all know someone who's deeply what you call spiritual. And these people bless our lives. But how can we know him at a deeper level than just the ordinary kind of life? Jesus died with our sins making marks on his body. Sometimes we see him like perhaps we've never really considered that we've ever seen him before like this in our whole life. Was it somebody said that I never realized, I never supposed that this would be true. But it is true. We slip now and then. We should really want to know him. He come to teach us about God. He told Philip, have I been with you so long, Philip, that you haven't seen the Father? When Philip asked him to show him the Father. Don't you understand that I've been walking with you perhaps for 3 years and you haven't been able to recognize the Father? Well, there's only one way really to get to know him, and that is by obeying him, obeying the Lord. Sometimes our so-called belief by learning more and more about God and the ability to quote the Bible and becoming more and more involved in church life and Christian activities that are intended to bolster our faith, there's no salvation in being mentally convinced of the gospel truth. Or having a huge knowledge of biblical wisdom. A man's real belief is that which he lives by. Have we left all to follow him? Matthew wrote, Jesus said, leave your gift at the altar and go unto thy brother and be reconciled to him and then come and offer your gift. Let's talk a little bit about some things maybe you should have done. Have you reconciled with anyone that you might have offended? Have you dismissed every anxious thought for tomorrow because Jesus told you to? Have you ministered to any needy person and not told anyone about it? Have you this day begun to leave all and follow him? Did you set yourself not to criticize, talk against, or judge others? Someone said, God didn't give you to me for me to be your judge. He gave you to me so that I could see Christ in you. Are you wary of covetousness? Do you forgive your enemies and show them kindness? Are you seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness before all of these things? Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Have you given your money and time, possession, skill, or love to anyone who asks of you? Have you trusted God to supply a pressing need and done these things with rejoicing because Jesus said to do them? The deepest thing in God is his love. If everything he created out of love. Everybody knows John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His love is the heart of his being, the essence of his nature. Jesus said that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that thou also might be one with us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Jesus says, the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love, if you keep my commandments, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do the things that I say. Love becomes the heart of your community. If I'm going to decide that Jesus is going to be the model for my life, it's a wholly personal matter. If I discover that he becomes my model, then it's not so personal anymore. Because of the, you reaching out to others. Thus, the institution isn't an organization. That we must serve, but the laws and the rules and the organization exist to safeguard the freedom of the people of the Spirit within our midst. Either the church is a living thing moved by the Spirit of God and love imparted to her by the risen Christ. Our challenge now is to see the vision of Zion. We talk a lot about it. That old lady, my grandmother, talked a lot about Zion when I was up there. We moved here when I was 8, and when we came to Independence and we were walking on the streets of Independence, I looked around and said, someday this is going to be Zion. And now, 70-some years later, the houses are the same, they're just older. I learned some things about the story of the prodigal son I'd like to share in closing. We think of this story as a story of a young man who went away from home, asked his father, had the courage to ask his father for all of his inheritance, and leave. And he did that. He wasted it. At least he came to himself and said, the hired men that work for my father have plenty to eat and a place to stay. I will arise and go to him. And once he had made up his mind to do that, he set out for home. Now, I have 3 sons. The second one is the one I prayed for the most. Jesus knew something about personalities and things, didn't he? And birth orders. Did you know that the greatest number of Catholic nuns are 3rd children? My 3rd son is a 70. In the COC, but that's his choice. But he seems to be the one that really loves the Lord and works hard for the Lord. We see the son drawing close and the father must be sitting out on the porch waiting for him. And runs and embraces him and welcomes him back. And they have a party. He gives him the best robe in the house. Now, whose robe is the best robe in the house? The father's own robe, isn't it? You ever thought about that? and ring, which enables him to do business for the Lord, and shoes. Rembrandt's picture of the prodigal son shows the elder son standing there with his arm crossed, judging his little brother, thinking how he's wasted his dad's resources. That story of the that we are talking about is not just about the prodigal son. It's about a loving, forgiving father and a judgmental, self-righteous older brother. Now, I said I'm the oldest of eight, so I know something about being a little self-righteous. When my dad passed away, I became the father of the family. And even Mom would keep things from me, but she'd tell the rest of the kids. That's what moms do, right? Don't tell Vernon. And the kids would tell each other that, you know, don't tell Vernon. But they just made me laugh. Reconciliation is the kind of ministry we've been talking about. Meeting with the needy, meeting with those who need you, becoming one, loving each other. And sometimes I wonder how it is that we can divide up with the idea that perhaps we won't see these people again. And I want to see you. I want to be one with you. I feel like I'm one with you. Dan makes sure that I get around here often enough for that. But how many? Let's see, we got 9 more years and we'll be 40 years in the wilderness. 20. It's time for us to start thinking about what it means to be one and coming back together. Somebody said, well, the Lord will accomplish that. I said, I think we've got enough intelligence amongst us to realize what is happening, to invite each other to come together and listen to each other. That's one thing we didn't do. We thought organization was where it's at. It's not where it's at. We thought maybe doctrine was where it's at. It's not in our doctrine. It's in our relationships with one another. Can you imagine as you saw the father gather his delinquent son in his arms in this story? That's where it's at, reconciliation. We need to be able to show our children. I live in a neighborhood with people who used to belong to the church, but they go somewhere else now. Where there's only one, there is no unity. It takes at least two to have unity. Every couple knows that. Everyone who's married knows that. But just how much more lovely, how much more beautiful would our unity be when it includes every one of us? No one judging, No one trying to be the policeman. People in our congregation thought I was supposed to be the policeman over the priesthood. I said, that's not my role. I was in Australia at a certain place, and a man in charge got up and said, I think this is the first time in 35 years that we've had a patriarch here. And I remember it very distinctly. If those of you are familiar with my job description, where it says you're to go where the Spirit leads you, and I knew he had brought me to that place for those people. May God bless you. I know you had two sermons tonight, so you got double, two for one. I won't charge you any extra. But it's a pleasure to see every one of you and know that sometime in the past we've probably crossed paths. We probably need to refresh our acquaintance. So I heard they got a cookie around here for me somewhere. God bless you is my prayer.
Like I say, I'm glad everybody was able to come out tonight, and even though there was a few sprinkles in between, there's always a challenge. But would like to remind you that there is a vacation church school here every night next week for all ages. And I'd like you to feel free to come. And then we're going to have a number of other sermons during the summer series this summer. And make sure you'd like to come out to those and enjoy that. And I'd like to thank everyone who has participated in helping put this program together. And sure appreciate Vern coming out. So as we turn to hymn number 454, we're marching to Zion. Could we sing out a little bit with a little bit of gusto, please? Okay.
Oh, God, our eternal Father, we're so thankful for the things that have happened tonight, the message that we've received, and the love that we share. We pray, O Lord, their blessing will go with us, for even so, only Thee can bring the blessings we need to reach the goal of salvation. Grant us these things, O Lord, and as we go, let Thy further blessing go with us as we fellowship together, that we may know that Jesus is our Lord, and that the things that go between us are acceptable unto Thee. Bless us, O Lord, to this end, and bless the food that we'll participate in, that we may, in our fellowship, become more righteous in the cause for Zion. We pray these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and for the sake of Your kingdom. Amen.